Hello and welcome. We are here for our monthly, I guess this is the month of March 2013, our monthly drop-in coaching call for practitioners in a variety of different programs, NEPT, CAT, and ERSTC. And this is a place where you can come and ask whatever questions you want and get some attention. It's a great place to come to get attention because not a lot of people do come to these on a regular basis, or people come and go. So it's a good way, if you want to be a regular on this, you'll get my undivided attention. So I'm Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and I am looking forward to hearing what your questions are. So there's no agenda, no stories, no content. This is just purely my time to be available for you. So the way you do it is if you have a question, you raise your hand, and I pick your hand, and I open up your line, and we speak. You ask your question. The way you raise your hand is a star 2 on your telephone keypad, star 2. And then if you're on the web only, you can just go ahead and there's a few people on the web. Go ahead and type your question into the question box, and I'll answer it that way. So we have to start. Whoops, I hit the wrong button. Sorry. All right. So, Beverly, hello.
Hi, Rita Marie. How you doing? Are you rested yet?
I actually, the other night, you're not going to believe this, but I think I got 12 hours of sleep the other night.
Get out. I don't believe you.
No, I did.
You have witnesses?
I did. Well, I was in a hotel room, so no, I don't have any witnesses. But I went to bed at, it was about 1 by the time I finished some emails I had to send. And I didn't set my alarm because I technically didn't have to be, I was speaking at an event and I didn't have to be there till 3:30. So I just said, I'll wake up when I wake up. I won't rush myself if I'm a little late getting there because I wanted to see the early part of the event anyway. And I woke up to a start to the sound of the knock, knock, knock when they come to clean your room. And I looked at the clock and it was after 9. And I was like, whoa, holy cow, I slept a long time. That's 8 hours there. I guess it wasn't 12 hours. It was 9.5 hours. So then I fell back to sleep after that. And I said, I'll just lay here for a few more minutes, then I'll get up. I fell back to sleep till 10:30. So I got 9.5 hours of sleep. So
I'm impressed.
I was thinking it was 12. I don't know why I was thinking it was 12. But I didn't go to bed at 10 like I was planning to. So, yeah, it was more like 9.5. But that's a lot of sleep for me. That was cool.
Well, maybe in your mind you got 12 hours worth of rest.
It might be.
Your body's registering that for you as 12 hours.
Because I keep saying I got 12 hours of sleep. I guess I felt like I got 12 hours of sleep.
That's what happened.
Anyway, yeah.
I had a call this morning with one of the practitioners that go over, I don't know if you ever talked to anyone from BioHealth Labs.
Okay. Say it again. I'm going to have to be asking you to repeat stuff because there's times that you can't hear it when you're speaking and it goes out, but when others are speaking, you can hear it. So if at times you may want to keep your line open if you're quiet there because at times you're going to have to interrupt me and say, we didn't hear the last whatever, and I just missed whatever you said. You said, I had a call with a practitioner this morning, and that was it.
Okay. You're familiar, obviously, with BioHealth Labs.
Yes.
And they have a free service where you can have a follow-up call from your labs, and I had a call with one, and she called, and she had this lovely English accent. It was so beautiful. It felt like I was talking to Bayari. But she went over my results, and she said, yes, in fact, it showed that I had everything was clear, except for the E. coli, and it said abundant. And my main question was, well, of course, this can also be the beneficial E. coli, too, which we all have. And she said, this is true. There is no way of knowing except for doing a further testing with, are you familiar with 304, which is their immune, it's a salivary test that shows your immune mucosal response. It looks for aerobic, anaerobic, dietary protein sensitivities and yeasts. She said that test will show candida if you have it, and the other one isn't nearly as as sensitive. So I'm gonna get. They're gonna send me that kit, and I'm gonna run that and see what.
Yeah,
happens.
I haven't run that one before, so that would be a new one on me.
Yeah. So for gut healing, She was saying that, you know, of course we know with my history that chances of you cannot imagine if I didn't have leaky gut, you know. And she said the way that she likes to use her gut healing protocol is with a few different products, and she rotates them. She said if there is a candida parasite or bacterial infection, then she likes something called Claire Interface Plus. And what that does is it actually gets at the biofilm, you know, the biofilm of the bacteria, and can get in there and break it down, where the other products that are gut healing don't necessarily get through that biofilm. And the
Did
Claire
she say what's in it?
No, she didn't, and I need to go and do some research. I haven't had a chance to look at that.
No.
But she said she uses the Claire Interface Plus, and then she always will use that if it's an infection, together with one of the others, and she rotates the other two, and they are Biomatrix Mucosal Support and GI Sustain Metagenics Powder. And she said she drinks those on an empty stomach in the morning. But she said once you know you've cleared, you've followed up, and you're clear of any infection, then you can continue just the support products, the Biomatrix Mucosal Support. And she does that for 2 to 3 months, and then she'll switch back to GI Sustain from Metagenics Powder. So I don't know. I haven't looked at what the
ingredients
are.
Yeah, you have to look at the products, because when I'm giving a recommendation for somebody, the first thing I do is explain the nutrients or the herbs that would be good, and then I say, well, you can get these combined in this particular product or that. So I get very frustrated when somebody says, oh, this product or that, because it's of course their product and they sell all this.
Right.
So I want to know more. I want to know.
I do too. And so that's why I want to do the research, because I'm like you. I'm like, don't tell me I have to buy your proprietary blend of this and that.
Exactly. I don't want proprietary blends.
I
want to make my own blend.
Exactly.
And certainly there's some that work really well, but sometimes, you know, a lot of the companies put a lot of crap in it. A lot of them use gelatin capsules. A lot of them use magnesium stearate. So I like to look at what are they using. And so,
Rita,
and I don't like, I hate
cut out
products
there.
That say, oh, say,
you cut out.
I hate products that do proprietary blends, because I want to know exactly what's in there. And I love Biomatrix for their bio-identical hormones, but I'm not sure. Let's see. So, yeah, when they say proprietary blend of, and then they give you a bunch of stuff, I don't like that. I want to know it's 300 milligrams of this and 200 milligrams of that, because if someone has an issue with a proprietary blend, it may be the proportions of things. It may be one nutrient, one herb in there. So I'm looking at what's in there. It's DGL.
Is this the Biomatrix Mucosal
this is
Support?
The Mucosal. It's DGL. It's a proprietary blend, 455 milligrams, of DGL, Siberian ginseng, hawthorn, milk thistle, slippery elm, turmeric. And then it's glutamine, 425, quercetin, N-acetylglucosamine, methyl MSM, bromelain, and gamma-arisinol. Of course, they have the perfunctory magnesium stearate. It's so that's why I tend to use things that don't have this. Like one of the products I've used is Glutamed, which combines some of this stuff. And then I'll use individual slippery elm, arabinol galactans. I mean, they're good ingredients. And the quercetin is the anti-inflammatory. So you can certainly try it and see what you think. It may be the magic bullet, but, you know.
No, I'm thinking I want to avoid all of these extra things. You know, I mean, I've taken so many supplements over the years that had plenty of that kind of ingredient in it. At this point, I really want to clean that out. And so I feel as though, and I told her, I said slippery elm. She's like, oh yeah, that's great too. And I bought a big pound bag of that, and you know,
yeah,
TSC
and turmeric
and
is great.
Forth.
So you could do, and there's
turmeric.
Standardized. They have the milk thistle and the hawthorn are in there because they're liver support. And whenever you're clearing up leaky gut, if you don't clear it up, because you're going to be releasing toxins and you may get a Herzheimer's reaction and all that. So they'll put the liver support in there as well. I mean, you could you could use a Gaia liver support along with it if you wanted to make up your own. The Eleuthero, you know, that's an adaptogen that doesn't specifically relate to leaky gut, but certainly leaky gut is a stress on the adrenals, so it's hard to help in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why that would be great, right.
Right, and then the glutamine is good. The quercetin, of course, is good. And acetyl-glucosamine can be good for rebuilding the integrity of the collagen support of the lining. MSM
and acetylglucosamine?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And then bromelain and gamma arisinol is just rice bran. I don't know what the specifics are for that with leaky gut.
I wonder if that's a filler. Is that listed as an active ingredient?
Yeah, this is going to be a frustrating call, guys. I'll just tell you from the start. It's a instant teleseminar problem, and as soon as do you hear me?
We
now?
Lost you, sweetie. No, I asked the question, and then we didn't hear anything.
No, your question cut out.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was saying was that that this is going to be a frustrating call because we're going to keep losing each other. We should have somebody open up their line and play music in the background very softly, so that as soon as I'll know that if that music stops, that. I'm not being heard anymore.
I can do that.
Because that way I'll know to stop because I won't hear you. That means that you don't hear me.
Okay.
Because it was very frustrating. I was on two telesummits. One woman tried, we did an awesome interview together, and she wrote back, and we talked a lot about the stress and the breathe and the appreciate and how when these stressful moments happen, don't take them in. And then she writes back, and her headline was, I breathe. Guess what? Only 2 minutes got recorded. So in addition to us cutting in and out a lot, only 2 minutes got recorded. So then I got on this one. I'm on this big telesummit, which I am thrilled to have been invited to, with big names like, Mark Hyman and Bernie Siegel and a whole bunch of big names. And David Wolf and people like that. And so these have all been going on, and I get to do my interview today.
And
of course,
just cut out.
First time they had technical difficulties. And the interviewer was like, oh, my God, this is such good stuff, but we keep getting cut off. And he said, we may have to redo this. Because hers was recorded. Hers was not live. So she was going to pre-record. This one was live. So anyway, so it's been
You just now cut out again, too. You went David Wolf and it left.
Oh, God. Yeah, put on the music so I can hear if I can.
Yeah, I'm looking for, I'm going to change it right now. I have to go through three different remotes to get where we need to go, as usual,
okay.
Larry, the
Yeah, so
guy.
Anyway, it was a great interview, and we kept cutting in and out, and we may have to redo it. But it was a live interview versus a recorded, whereas the one this
Well, the last interview you did at 12:30 my time, neither of you ever cut out on my end. It was funny that the two of you were hearing cutouts,
really?
And it never cut out on here. I'm like, that's so strange that I'm hearing both of them going, you're not there, you're not there, and I could hear both of you. In fact, many times you both would be talking at once, and I never heard any dead air like I've heard with you and I today. I mean, right now.
Oh, so it's the phone. That's good to know. So it was transmitting over the internet. Were you on the internet listening?
I had the internet, yes.
Yes, so you're on the internet. So if you guys are listening on the internet, you don't know what we're talking about. You're hearing us all the way through, and then you're hearing us say we can't hear each other. There's something wrong with their phone lines today. So that's good to know because I can tell them, hey, it's your phone lines. Okay?
Okay.
Well, that's good to know, and hopefully, but the recording is probably trash because the recording goes by the phone line. So their recording is probably trash. And if it is any good, it's going to be they're going to have to go through and edit it out all the places where we're saying, keep going. Yeah, so anyway, this is good.
It was a good interview
for leaky gut. And if you want to put your own together, just kind of look at it. It's nothing. It's no rocket science what they're doing here, right? It's just what we all know and what I've taught you about healing leaky gut. And it's just a nice combination. So if you want to do it, I just wish they wouldn't put the darn excipients in. I don't like it.
Yeah. And it's so unnecessary. I still don't understand. It's a powder, right? It's not. What do you have to get?
Yeah, but the reason for it makes it cheaper to do the supplements because they can make it, they can slide through the machinery. It's like a lubricant that helps the capsules slide through.
But in a powder? That's what I'm saying. Why would the powder, if it's pure powder?
This is a powder?
I don't know. I thought it was.
This is capsules. This is capsules.
It was encapsulated. That's
but
why.
I have
okay,
seen it in the powder. That I often wonder why it's in the powder. It might be so it keeps it from clumping.
Okay. All
but,
right.
But yeah,
true.
So it, you can you know, you can certainly try it if you feel like it. But it's I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just don't like it.
I will get the individual ingredients again and try to figure out where I'm missing something and put something of my own together. So
now the Claire
maybe I'll formulate something great.
The Claire interface thing. If they don't have.
I thought the Claire was a good. Well, that should be. Well,
they sometimes, they oftentimes,
have
they have two different lines, and Claire KLAIRE.
Mm-hmm. I think that's KLIR. Yeah, that's how I've always spelled it. I didn't ask her to spell it, but.
Yeah, they often have.
Interface Plus. It's called Interface Plus.
Interface Plus. Okay. I N T E R F A C E space P L U S. Okay, Claire Interface Plus. Oh, is that FACSE? Okay. They're capsules, so I'm just going to pull one up and we'll look at what's in it. And this, you know, for being discriminating about your nutrients, don't just take things at face value. It's really look for the quality, right? So this has got polysaccharides. So it's a bunch of enzymes, specific enzymes, hemicellulase, et cetera. And seropeptidase, other ingredients, vegetarian. Yeah, this one's fine. It does not have. And,
it's
you know,
clear,
reading
okay.
the biofilm is good. You might look at also Premier Research Labs has a biofilm product. So you can compare the two and make a decision. And that's a piece that I need to start talking more about for the persistent cases because getting the biofilms.
Premier Research Lab,
you know,
what's that product
called? Getting the biofilms is good. And then Biomatrix. Mucosal and GI sustain. Oh yeah, that stuff's crap. Sorry.
Which one?
The sustain. Which? I'll look at it to see if they've changed it. I used to use it, but it's like rice protein, fructose. Sometimes is you know. Let me look at it and see if they've fixed it up. What I use instead is if you want something really good like that, it's MediClear Plus. But it's just basically a bunch of nutrients, just a bunch of nutrients, and then rice protein concentrate, not organic, not sprouted, not raw, rice protein solid, rice syrup solids, rice flour, isomalto oligosaccharides, olive oil, mag citrate, medium chain oil. So good stuff. Other than that, but. Yeah. Cyanocobalamin.
Yeah,
why would you want to put cyanocobalamin?
Oh, forget it.
And
yeah,
then if you look
at the GI sustain?
That's the GI sustain. So if you look at Thorne, MediClear Plus.
That's by Thorne. Okay.
That has a lot of good stuff in there for healing leaky gut and inflammation. Again, it's going to be rice protein that's not
sprouted or raw.
It's not sprouted. Organic, but that's why I tend to like, if we're going to use the, you do need the extra protein, so it does help, but it has other stuff in it. If you look, it's much cleaner. I think it used to be anyway. Has the same nutrients, but they usually use activated bees, so they'll have riboflavin 5-phosphate, they'll have pyridoxal phosphate, so there's a lot of good nutrients. There's curcumin, quercetin, taurine, MSM. So you might be able to, if you did want to use something like this and you wanted to do something together, that this would give you a lot of the stuff that's in the Biomatrix mucosal, and then you just could add some of the other. Oh, this is pea protein, too, now. Pea protein. No gluten, dairy, egg, soy, blah, 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 no. No stearates, they specifically say. No dairy, no artificial colors, sweeteners, or flavors. And, yeah, so they're sweetened. I think it's sweetened with stevia. Yeah, so no sweeteners.
Yeah,
whereas the metagenic stuff all has sweeteners. So I gave up the metagenic stuff ages ago.
Yeah.
I just don't care for it. And they have folate.
Thorne MediClear,
okay,
and the Clear Bio Clear Interface was okay. And the
folate,
Premier Research Lab we haven't gotten to. Right.
That's another thing. You really got to be careful about anything with multi-stuff is to make sure that you're not getting folic acid. Those of you who are relatively new to this, you'll hear me talk a lot. Maybe you came to the methylation thing I did last week, but really be careful about anything that says folic acid. And, of course, GI Sustain says folic acid.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Which doesn't surprise me with the cyanocobalamin.
And cyanocobalamin. So I just don't think that they're it's sad because I think Jeffrey Bland, who's taken over that company, is so well-read, I thought. But
yeah,
anyway.
He always had a good reputation in the past, but, you know, I think that corruption runs rampant, as we know, and I think that a lot of them are just like, well, it's easy to make money. You can just get this.
It's
okay. And
Thorne is committed to no stearates, and they're committed to whatever extra it costs that they're gonna do it. So anyway, that's it.
Okay.
Good. I think, you know, get on the right track. If you put together a formula, run it by me.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. In fact, I'll talk to you about that. I'm really interested in doing that. I think that it's such an important baseline for everybody to address. If you're, you know, well, I'm just preaching
to
the choir here.
But. Oh, I haven't done the detox. I have a detox formula that I came up with for leaky gut, whereas I used it in a program I did with Tira Warner. It's a combination of organic sprouted protein powders with a bunch of the nutrients to heal, so kind of making our own version of these metagenics.
Do you still have it listed?
I have it somewhere.
Try to see if you can come up with it, because it would be great to work on that.
Yeah.
I would love to do that. And I wanted to, on the next question, I wanted to tell you that what do you think about my doing a bunch of research on tapping and run everybody through tapping as a paper topic for my certification?
Sure. Yeah, that'd be great.
I thought so. Okay. Because, I, you know, there's severe pain. There's so many. I have the program, and there are so many different speakers, and I've got the hard copies of all of this, and I thought, boy, this would be a great opportunity to delve into all of that and listen to it. And the NeuroSummit and the TAP course had something on the tapping, and then there was a tapping summit that I also got. So
right.
I have two tapping summits. So I think that would be a great thing.
Pulling the mind body and the energetic body into the physical body and combining and, you know, kind of pulling them together is an awesome thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that that's another huge, that and the gut. You know, if you could only have two things you could work on, don't you think that mind body and spirit kind of healing and the gut? Can you imagine how much
at the beginning when I teach my programs, right? The gut is the first module. And before that, we talk about stress. And
mm-hmm. Yep. There's a reason for it. Yeah. So I think that would be a nice little paper topic. I think I'm going to do that. I should say I began to write it over the weekend, so I already have
it. Now get it on the schedule because I, you know, otherwise
exactly.
You're going to
be cut out again,
year,
and I can't get the TV onto
program.
Music yet. I'm trying to figure out where else I could do that. If you can hear me.
I can hear you. It's been staying.
Okay, there you are. You're back.
Oh.
Did I cut out?
No, I heard you, but you didn't hear me, I guess. Oh, well. Well, let me move on to Eleanor's question. And if anybody else is on, has a question, it looks like Tracy just joined us. Hi, Tracy. It's star 2 to raise your hand. So thank you for great stuff. And I think everybody learned a lot from that.
You're welcome.
I'll leave you
okay.
Open.
And I'll try to find music softly.
Okay, yeah, that'd be great. Hey, Eleanor.
Hi. So I was listening to the web and the phone at the same time, and Beverly was right. You do hear you on the web, but you don't hear you on the phone.
Oh, bummer. Bummer. We have to report it to them that they have problems with their phone lines.
Yeah, it was a little hard to do because of the delay. It kind of scrambled my brain a little bit, but I did. Yeah, I did.
Thank you for doing that.
I heard the last thing you said, and then I heard words after it on the web. So it definitely, it's definitely doing that.
Okay.
I have a couple questions. I wanted to get clear on food allergies versus food sensitivities versus food intolerances. I know that food intolerances have to do with not having enzymes or things to digest, but the question is really all around dairy, because I have someone that gave up dairy, and they're getting the results that I was hoping, less mucus, less headaches and everything, but now they're thinking that they have a food allergy to dairy, and they want to treat it. They are seeing a homeopathic doctor who has started them on these, I'll call them tinctures. She wasn't really sure for her allergies, and she's thinking that she might ask her next to do this kind of therapy for dairy so she could start eating dairy again. And I kind of feel like dairy is not a food allergy. It's something else, but I couldn't really discuss it with her.
Yeah, I mean, dairy is a very common allergen. So an allergy is when the immune system's involved. So it's actually an IgE, an IgG, or an IgA reaction to that. And if that doesn't make sense, it'll make a lot more sense when we do our immune module. But those are particular types of antibodies. The IgAs live in the mucous membranes, like the respiratory tract and the GI tract. The IgEs are those immediate. They create histamine. That's when people get the runny nose, the red face, the eyes watering. And then IgG is more of a delayed sensitivity. And all three can be happening for any particular food where the body is perceiving it. Somehow the food is getting in the way of the immune system, right? So where it shouldn't be. The food should just be in the gut, getting broken down and then eliminated. So some of those undigested food particles are leaking through the gut and they get into the bloodstream and the body perceives it as foreign and creates the same sort of an immunologic reaction it would as if it was strep.
Okay, that's
a food allergy.
She actually gave her a probiotic.
Are you guys still hearing?
I hear you.
Okay, good. Okay. But I'm hearing an echo, so maybe do you have your...
Let me take off my headset.
Okay, good.
It's interesting because she actually gave her a probiotic that she thought would would deal more with the sinuses than the gut. So maybe that's tied to all that you're saying here.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I could see why the doctor that she's working with did not agree to this yet, but I can see why she's working with her on her allergies, because she doesn't want to be taking Claritin all the time, so she's trying to find another way to get her off Claritin. But how do I explain to her why she doesn't want to do that with dairy and then go back to eating
so
dairy
she can
again?
It's fine to have the
desensitization
so if she has an accidental exposure, but dairy is... So there's the food allergy. Then there's sensitivities, like you said. Our body may not have the right enzymes to break it down. So, for example, lactase, a person can react. They don't have lactase to break down the lactose, and so they get more of the GI symptoms. They generally don't get the allergy symptoms from that in the head. And then the sensitivities can be just for any other reason. Like, there could be an emotional sensitivity, right? You used to eat that food when your father was beating you up, right? And your body developed that connection between pain and sympathetic response, and that there's so many reasons that can go into it. Those are the ones that tend to do best with those desensitization processes. Some people do energetic desensitizations. There's a program called NAET where people go through and they actually desensitize using acupuncture points, and there's some applied kinesiology techniques where you hold a magnet over certain areas and you thump on certain points to help desensitize. But when there's a true allergy, when there's an IgE-type allergy especially, it's not going to go away completely. So maybe under a certain time when the person does all these desensitizations, they're balanced, they can handle that food, but there can be a tipping point after which they have too much and it goes back into the reaction. Or it just is a stressful time in their life, so for other reasons they're compromised, and so that food then, it becomes a trigger again. Now, but dairy in general, I mean, some foods are fine to desensitize and then slowly go back to. I think in general, people shouldn't be eating dairy. I mean, dairy, when you look at nature, is a food for the babies of that specific species. I don't think it's intended for humans to drink cow's milk. I mean, by natural things, what's intended mean? I don't know. Whatever that means, but I think by the body is designed, we're not designed to handle dairy after the age of 4. And if you look, we naturally lose our lactase after that. The other thing is dairy is loaded with casein. It's about 80% casein, 20% whey. Even if we were to continue to have the ability to digest breast milk, mother's milk from humans, it's more like 20% casein and 80% whey. So it's a different structure.
Nope, so you
There's
broke
a lot
out.
Of differences.
Can you hear me?
Between.
You broke it. I don't
and
hear you.
It's associated with so many diseases. If you look at studies
yes.
with uterine cancer, the milk sugar, galactose, has been attributed to that. If you look at diabetes, milk proteins can cross-react with receptors and antibodies for insulin. And so there's all these places. It increases the levels of IGF-1, which can be a pro-carcinogen. So there's a lot of reasons not to do dairy. I have some really great articles on my blog about that, where I just went through it and I said, okay, well, what about raw dairy? What about raw cultured organic dairy? What about raw cultured organic non-cow's milk dairy? And the conclusion that
you're
I
going again.
Is just not
Are you
really
there?
Fit for human consumption. The Done. Way
oh,
the
you just came back. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Where did you hear me out?
You started talking about some articles on your blog that.
Oh yeah, I did a really thorough research. And then put a blog article several years ago. So if you just
okay.
go to my blog and type in dairy,
okay.
you may be able to find it. It's basically, I looked at, you know, okay, dairy in and of itself, homogenized, pasteurized, bovine growth hormone-laden dairy is obviously not good for anybody, and we need to convince the population that that's not good. But what about raw dairy? What about raw organic dairy? What about raw organic cultured dairy? So we're getting better and better and more easily digestible as we go there, right? And raw organic cultured dairy from a non-cow, like a goat dairy, like a goat yogurt, would be probably your most healthy form of dairy if you tolerate it. Still don't recommend it in large quantities or, you know, very much. And that's what the article went through, and I found lots of research and evidence to that. Did you hear me say about galactose in dairy?
No, and the casein, you cut out on the casein also. You started to talk about, I heard we're not designed to handle dairy after 4, and then you started to talk about casein and you broke it.
Oh, yeah, and then the casein content. If we were to be able to still handle dairy after 4, it would be human dairy, right? Not cow dairy or goat dairy. That's not the species we are. It would be human. So you'd have to look at is what people are eating now, this cow's dairy, similar enough, and it's not. It's completely different. Cow's dairy has 80% casein. Human has 20. They have 20%
okay.
whey. We have 80. And then there's a whole bunch of different things in the structures of the fats and the sugars.
Okay,
so they're very different. So if we were to still be able to drink milk as an adult, yes, get human milk. And I haven't seen any on the shelves in the stores lately.
Yeah.
Have you? I mean, no. You have a friend who's breastfeeding, ask her to give you some, but that's about the extent of it, right? Goat and sheep
laugh.
Get closer.
There she is.
Okay, 40% casein instead of 80% casein. So a lot closer, so people do tend to tolerate that better. There may be cases where maybe someone has not been breastfed, they have a compromised immune system, and you can get a hold of colostrum from preferably an organically raised, not mm-hmm. hormone-free, grazed, et cetera, animal, and then feed them the colostrum because that has a lot of immune properties. So there's a lot of places where it might be able to be used therapeutically. But as far as eating it as a food, that means that she says, then I can go to a restaurant and eat dairy. Then I can go, you know, out with my friends and eat dairy. And that's dangerous, right? If you are going to eat dairy, it's at home. It's you get raw organic goat's milk, and then you turn it into yogurt or kefir, and you eat small amounts of it. That would be the safest way to do dairy. And how many people in life want to do that? They want to just be able to go to the store and buy a hunk of cheese and eat it, or buy some milk, or, you know, eat ice cream or whatever. And in that case, it's just not a healthy food. And that's my opinion. You know, I'm a vegetarian and I like animals, and, you know, I'm vegetarian for health reasons, but I also, you know, see all the ethical stuff as well. But I would much prefer to eat meat than dairy if I had a choice. If I had to do it, I would eat meat over dairy, you know, organic, pastured, you know, grass finished, the whole bit. I would much prefer for my body, for my health, to eat that.
Okay. And another question I had is, if you're taking a supplement, DHEA, should you only take that in the morning? I've been told that it gives you energy and it could keep you awake if you take it too late in the day. Do you agree with that?
Depends on whether you're taking physiologic doses or pharmacologic doses. So what I mean by physiologic doses is that you're matching the body's normal rhythm. You're giving it, like, you're, maybe the gland is shut down. You've had adrenal fatigue for a long time and DHEA is low and you want to take DHEA. You don't want to take a blasting dose of 15 milligrams in the morning or 25 milligrams in the morning. And if you look around, it's really hard to find any DHEA that's less than 25 or 15 at the little minimum. But we want to do physiologic doses to just give the gland some support while it's rebuilding itself. So I don't see any problem with energy of taking like 2 to 3 milligrams of DHEA 3 times a day, sometimes 4 if they're in a real severe state of adrenal fatigue.
Okay, so I need to look at the dosage, but we're talking about the tens, and actually the dosage that the person's taking is 30, and it's a testosterone.
Is this a female or a male?
A male. It's a testosterone.
Okay.
Trying to go after the testosterone level. Well, he was tested.
Yeah.
The DHEA is very low, and his testosterone is on the low side.
So they're not giving him testosterone, just the DHEA?
Yeah, they want to start with the DHEA and see what you can do.
Okay,
there.
Then in that case, they need those superphysiologic doses. So here's the problem you run into, and you may want to have him suggest to his doctor what about the idea of doing cycling the doses. So, for example, if you're giving him 30 milligrams, he may need that. And then in that case, no, I wouldn't take it at night. I would just take it in the morning, right?
Okay.
But say he's doing that, there's a negative feedback loop, which you'll learn is just all about all the hormone pieces have it, the negative feedback loop. So if the level gets too high, the gland shuts down. It says, oh, we don't need any more. And so if you're constantly providing it from the outside, the complete need for the body, it doesn't have to make up anymore. So what you want to do is give just a little bit to help boost it up so that the little bit that your gland still makes is working. So say you have somebody with an underfunctioning gland. In this case, the adrenals are not making enough DHEA. And say there's a certain amount. Let's just call it X. It's a certain amount that it needs to make. And pituitary is looking in and going, am I making it? Are you making enough? Is there enough? And they're looking for X, and they don't see X. They see less than X. So they're going to stimulate to produce more. Stimulate to produce more, and it gives your body the ability to produce. Now, say, with all that stimulation, your body gets only up to X minus 2. The perfect dose to give is 2.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense what you're saying, yeah.
So
I guess she is putting him on it only for 2 months. His DHEA was 66,
mm-hmm.
and she's putting him on 30 for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
But and she did mention that we don't want to stop the glands from producing it. We need to just supplement them.
I would say that I don't know, because it's hard to tell, you know, knowing what his levels are, 66. You know, it's hard to tell what the person really needs. That's the problem we get into.
Okay.
So it's,
she wants,
you know,
it
saying,
up to 200. She wants it up to 200 to 250. That's what she'd like to see it around.
Okay. All right. So it's underfunctioning considerably, but you just don't want to overshoot the mark. So it's best to start lower. And, you know, in any case, you have to balance between retest it in a month rather than 2 to see if you need to up or down the dose. But it's costly. It's, you know, you have to balance what people are willing to spend in costs, and it's always what we run into with lab testing.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I've been going through the assessments, and sometimes you ask the same question in assessment twice. Is that because you want to give that question more power or points in the assessment, or is that?
Is it, if it's done in a different wording, it's because sometimes people don't get it when you ask it in a certain way, so you ask it in another way. And if it's just the same question,
okay, you just came back. if it's done in a different wording, I bet
if it's done in a different wording,
okay,
then it's because people, you know, people, you say it one way and then you say it another
way.
Yeah,
I know.
So you just say it in different ways. Do you crave salt? Do you like salt a lot and can't stop eating it?
Yeah.
Right? They say no to one and yes to the other. And then the other thing is, sometimes we put the questions in the same just to see if the person's paying attention and just, you know, if they're really in tune and in touch. And if they answer the same question differently in two different parts of the questionnaire, then there's, you know, you get a little information about their mental status then, don't you? And about how in touch they are with their symptoms. And in a lot of cases, it's just a typo. It's just an oversight and a mistake. Oops, you gone.
Are you there?
I'm gone again. Where am I?
Yeah, there you are.
There we are.
Gotcha. Music on, Rita Marie. I don't know
and
if that's helping
and
or
no,
hurting.
I can't hear your music.
Definitely she needs louder music, I guess.
Yeah, here's what I want you to do. If you hear me go away, start talking. And if I don't hear you talking, then
okay.
You know it's both ways.
Okay, then.
Yeah, just as soon as you hear me stop, then go, hello, hello, I can't hear you, that kind of thing. And that way I'll know, if I don't hear that, then I'll know that it's the line is cutting. It's not one side or the other. And that's what my guess is that their line is just cutting out.
Okay, so are you there?
Yes, I am. So
okay.
We're here too. So I told you this is a frustrating call.
I know that there can be reasons to have the same questions, you know, for all the ones because I did some of this in the corporate world. But so should we assume that they're there for a purpose, or do you want us to point them out?
Yeah. I would point it out. That would be great because then
I'll
know if it's deliberate or just a mistake.
Okay.
And we're constantly looking to upgrade and update. You know, I've been doing some of these forms for 20 years, and I still find mistakes in them. So, you know, it's really hard to keep everything, to find everything.
Yeah. Okay. And then do you have any idea when you're going to have the first foundation kind of group meeting, group conference?
Yes.
Call?
In fact, you should have gotten an email. We changed it. Stacy and I crossed paths. So the email you got today was about the retreat, and you should get an email tomorrow. It's the 9th of April.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and that's going to be our kickoff. And then I chose that time, and then I'm going to be sending a survey to find out when, you know, people's schedules work for scheduling all the calls and stuff, because I tried to get that one to be at a time where it's kind of a little on the late side but doable for our Europe people, a little bit on the early side but doable for the people in Australia, because we have people all over the world. And, yeah, it's kind of hard when you're trying to balance Europe with Australia with the U.S. So it's right in the middle of the day for us. So, anyway, we're going to try to get a sense of where people's time schedules work, and we might vary the calls around a little bit to help people. It'll always be good for U.S. people. I mean, doable during the day. Let's just say during the daylight hours for U.S. people.
Okay.
I mean, during the normal day hours, it will be, you know, anywhere from, you know, 9 in the morning Pacific time would be the earliest we'd ever do it. Probably 10 in the morning Pacific time would be the earliest we'd do it. And then, you know, 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night, Eastern would be the latest. So it'll be in that time range. So it'll be good for us, but I'm trying to accommodate those folks overseas so they can make some of the live calls.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two in the morning doesn't work. No. My last question is this topic that I'm getting a little thick on, and that's this whole horsetail, nettles, and alfalfa, and infusions, whether they need to be heated, and because I'm doing this Happy Hormone green smoothie, and it's got the horsetail, nettles, and the alfalfa in it. I know, and I've got the powder. I bought the powder from Mountain Rose. Do I need to be doing something? Am I getting the benefit of putting those in my smoothie, or do I need to be doing something with them?
Here's the deal. You're getting the total benefit of those and their minerals and everything in them by doing it that way. The thing that you could be thwarting is your vitamin B1. So, and I don't have any numerical assessments as to how much it thwarts B1, but apparently when you use the horsetail in the raw state, it can antagonize vitamin B1.
So it's the horsetail.
So
she is. Hello.
Or take extra B1.
There he is. There she is.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, so it's the horsetail, and that was the thing I said wrong.
Just
on
the horsetail.
The cooking.
Just
it's the horsetail that we're worried about. Okay.
It's just the horsetail, and we're not worried about it. We're just trying to get the benefit of it. We're always going to get the benefit of it. So no matter what you do to it, you're going to get the benefit of it. But when you infuse it, and it doesn't have to be for long, you just have to heat it. It basically has to be cooked. So it's not like it has to be for a long time. It just pour the boiling water over it, let it sit for 5 or 10 minutes, and you've got an infusion. And it basically will, it interferes with vitamin B1. And I can't quantify it. I don't know exactly. No, I haven't found any studies that quantify exactly how much. So if you're taking horsetail raw, how much vitamin B1 do you need to take to make up for it? So you either infuse it, and you could do it. You could make it, do it overnight. You could get a mason jar, put a bunch of horsetail in it, pour the boiling water over it, cover it up, let it sit overnight. And then the next day it'll be room temperature. And then you throw it in your smoothie. And
there
I recommend just throw the leaves in there, too, because they still have a lot of the minerals in them.
Yeah, and I bought all this powder from Mountain
Rose. If you bought the powder, you could do similarly. You could just pour boiling water over the powder.
Okay, that's what I'll do. Yeah,
yeah, and it'll dissolve in there, and that'll be even better. Yeah.
Yeah, that, I didn't even think of that the night before. I was thinking I'd have to
do it. Yeah, because you don't want to put hot boiling water in your smoothie,
throw
right?
the warm stuff in, but I'll do it the night before, like you said, and then
I'll
just have You lost. What?
Did we lose? Who did we lose? Her or me?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Both of you were chopping out like alternately.
Yeah. So it's the line and it's both ends and yeah.
Okay, but that gets me clear finally on that because I just couldn't get clear on that. So that was my last question. Thank you.
Fantastic. Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. Bye for now.
Okay, so we have Tracy. Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can now. We'll see how long I can hear you for. I don't know. But...
Well, it's nice to hear your voice. I feel like it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been like a couple of weeks, hasn't it?
Yes. So
well, you'll get sick of me after, as soon as we start working on the program. You're just going to hear my voice all the time. So.
I don't think so. My question is, a mom today approached me about her 8-year-old daughter who is not able to really pay a lot of attention in school, very sensitive, she's being redirected by the teacher about 20 times a day. She eats dairy, gluten, and sugar, and her mom... came to me like, what should I do?
Take her off of gluten, dairy, and sugar for starters. Just taking her off of one of those can be night and day for that child. And I've had experience with it in all three ways, mainly with the gluten and the dairy.
Loaded with
food allergies, I thought, based on his symptoms, and they only wanted to do one thing to start. And he had asthma as a kid, so I thought, it's dairy, right? Because asthma and, thick mucus, and let's start with dairy. And I said, look, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know what you're going to see, but let's start there, and then we'll go to the next thing, and then we'll go to the B vitamins, and there's a lot of stuff. But they only wanted to do one thing at a time, night and day.
I was thinking... I was thinking about like her B vitamins. I was thinking about her amino acids.
Exactly.
And she's a very picky eater. Her mother said she barely wants to eat any protein. She just likes carbs, dairy, and sugar. So I had a 2-part question actually. The first part is, and this might be more business related, so you may not want to do it on this call, but she wanted to know like, what do I charge an hour? Well, I don't charge by the hour, but she seems so desperate to want some help. She doesn't know what to do and where to go. So that's my first question.
Okay, well, you went out. You went out. So
okay.
So did you.
Okay,
both did. Yeah, I could tell. She couldn't hear me when I was saying I can't hear you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
She wanted to
know what you charge by the hour, and you said I don't charge by the hour.
Yes, I don't charge by the hour. However, she seemed really just frantic and desperate, wanting to help her daughter. And she knows that she's got to get her off the three things. She's like, I know that for a fact. And I said, well, what's really important is really just looking at her digestive system,
mm-hmm.
Because there's probably a lot of inflammation. And I was just kind of talking to her about the gut-brain relationship. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to just turn her away because I don't charge by the hour, but I'm just not really sure what to do.
Okay. So when you say you don't charge by the hour, do you do packages? You say I have some number of
sessions?
Yes,
I do. Yeah, I do it's an 8-week program with women. I don't even work with children. But this is someone whose son goes to the same school. Our children take swimming together. She knows me. So I want to help her in some capacity.
Okay. Yeah, you can, and you don't have to charge her by the hour. So when you say you do an 8-week program with women, is that a group program or is that a one-on-one?
No, just one-on-one.
Okay. So you can say, look, my experience has been that this is going to take some time. It's going to take some hand-holding. I'm going to have to do some research in between sessions sometimes to find you the right recipes, create you the right recipes, give you the right resources. And so I don't do it by the hour. What I do is I do a package. And here's the package. And if you want to stick with the same 8-week model because you have it and it works, you say, here's mm-hmm. what you get. It's 8 weeks and we have the sessions are this long and there's this many and they're this far apart. And does it also include some resources, handouts, checklists, recipes?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to give you recipes. We'll give you, outlines. I'll help you restock your kitchen. I'll help you learn how to make some really creative dishes. I've tried them on my own kid, and they work. And I'm going to and the only way I could do it, the only way it'll do you justice is for us to commit. Because if you don't commit and you just are hit or miss, then your results are going to be hit or miss.
Oh, I like the way you said that. Okay, thank you for that. So here's what I was thinking, because her daughter seems so tied to these foods and she doesn't eat a lot of other things, instead of just saying to her, okay, we're just going to, I just want you off the gluten, the dairy, and the sugar all at once. Not, in a perfect world, yes. But
in a perfect world, yes, but it's not going to happen.
Right. So I thought, let's just start with one thing and let's focus on that while working on healing her gut. What do you think?
Yes, and to choose that one, it's really the process. So looking at some of those questions in the module one of CAT, right? What are the things you want to know that are going to lead you? Like for my guy, the first kid I worked with like that was, it was really obvious to me based on the history that dairy would be an important one. Because he had a history of, mucusy, sinusy, mm-hmm. asthma kind of things, and mm-hmm. eczema too. So those things all led to me mm-hmm. to think. So, you want to just ask some questions that may give you either an intuitive hit or an intellectual hit
mm-hmm.
on which
mm-hmm.
is going to be the biggest bang for the buck. Because whenever you're working with people and they have a bunch of stuff going on, starting with the place that's going to give you the most quick response
mm-hmm.
is the place to start, because then they get confident, they feel good about it. So really think it through. Do a good history. Did you do like a consult strategy session with her? Is that what you did?
Oh, no.
Or
she
just
talked
to her
casually?
She caught
me while I was shopping at Whole Foods. She caught me while I was in Whole Foods and kept me there for about 40 minutes.
Okay.
Talking to me about
so here's what you tell her. I will do a strategy session for you for X price. I only do it once with people, and I do that. This is how much you pay. And recently I've given it to Jan, so I raised my price to like $500 for it, so nobody signs up for them anymore. So that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then people do. I had somebody last week who did. So good. Okay. So
I do a discovery.
Yeah, discovery session.
Yeah,
but
it's a complimentary.
We'll charge you for it, because she already got her complimentary, standing there in the supermarket for 40 minutes. So don't give her anything more complimentary. Oh, yeah, and you give it a discount. Normally I charge you this much for a strategy session, but I'm giving it to you for this much. Okay? Come in. We'll really do it. I'll get a really thorough history, and we'll decide what the best course of action is. I said, and say to her, I know that there's a lot of dietary changes that your child's going to have to make, and it's going to be hard. So I want to start with the one that's going to give us the most success right up
mm-hmm.
front. And I need to do that, I need to ask you more questions.
So I haven't done a health history yet, and I, you know, I plan on doing that if we work together. My gut is telling me that from all of the sort of the ADHD, not paying attention, sensitive, I have a feeling it's gluten, but, you know, but
yeah.
I will do the health history. But that's what my mind is telling me, that that is going to show her some changes short term.
Yep.
So we can continue working on the other things.
Right. And so you do that, and that's also going to help the gut the most too, right? Because it's going to stop ripping apart the gut. So you get you talk to her about the gluten, and that's an easy one because you're going to get her on stuff that you wouldn't eat yourself probably. You know, okay,
right.
What does she eat for breakfast? Blah, 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 cereal. Okay, we're going to get this particular gluten-free cereal. Okay, what does she eat for lunch? So this sandwich on, okay, good. So you're going to get the rice or millet bread, and you're going to do the sandwich. And so you just go, you say to the look, the what you're putting in the sandwich is not ideal, but let's just change a little bit at a time for this child and then get her used to more and more. And so you're just going to change out the Ronzoni spaghetti for the, you know, quinoa corn one, or better yet, you know, the brown rice cinchiato one or something, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just
do little by little. It's frustrating as a practitioner knowing how much change you can get from these people, but if you just say, do this, but realistically it's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, she's ready. And so my last question to you is more of a pollen question. Here in Georgia, beautiful trees, lots of pollen. And I found that...
Okay, you're cutting out. Okay, you cut out as soon as you said beautiful trees.
Okay, so here in Georgia where I live, they have lots of beautiful trees, very high pollen count. I noticed today that my eyes started itching. And we've been here 3 years, never had pollen issues until we moved here. So I'm taking nettles, and I know on a call before you mentioned vitamin C and quercetin.
Yep.
Do you think that nettles is going to give me more immediate relief than taking vitamin C and quercetin, or what?
I think you should take all three.
Okay.
Yeah, I would take all three. And if it's like in the nasal passages and then coming in making your eyes itchy, you might even try QC nasal spray. The neti pot for sure, absolutely for sure. And then QC nasal spray from Thorn has quercetin in it.
Okay.
And you shoot it up, and so if it gets up in your sinuses, it's going to get up into those cavities and affect your eyes. It may or may not help. And then I don't know if there's quercetin eye drops, but you certainly want to heat it. You want to do it from the inside out. I would do the bowel tolerance.
Now, what about for my 7-year-old son?
Oh, it's for your 7-year-old. Okay. Yeah,
no,
but
no, it's for me, but he also has the same thing.
He has the same thing. So both of you. Yes, so bowel tolerance, vitamin C. But not the way we do it with the flush. You've read the flush in the Before Be Gone program? Instead, you start with him on a small dose, like 500 milligrams three times a day. You can do a powder. You can put it in whatever you can get him to drink. And then, and it doesn't really taste bad. My kids have always drunk it. And you just put it, half a teaspoon in there. And then I'd start with probably two grams three times a day. Okay, and then yes, and then with him, just gradually increase it. So increase one of those doses to 750 milligrams. He does okay every day. Just increase it a little bit. If he notices that and you ask him, look, pay attention to if you start to have to go poop more often, tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so when he starts to say, "Ooh, Mom, I went poop 3-4 times yesterday," okay, good. You back him off to the dose before.
Mm-hmm.
And then you keep them there, okay? And tell them to keep you informed if it comes back to pooping more than he's hitting the wall again, and you just have to lower it a little bit. Same thing with you. You just watch your bowel movements, and you just keep increasing it. You could be a little more aggressive about the increasing because you're aware and you know what's going on, and you could immediately hone in on, ooh, okay, that fifth bowel movement today was probably a bit too much. Let's go back to the dose I had the day before.
Mm-hmm. And so nothing, you wouldn't recommend anything else for him, nettles or quercetin?
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, does he also get it in the eyes? Does he get it in the nose, too?
Well, I haven't seen it in the eyes, and he told me his eyes just itched a little bit today, but last year, I mean, it was you know, sneezing, runny, I mean, red, itchy eyes.
Yeah, he needs the histamine support. So I would give him quercetin, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can he
and
follow
pills? How much would you? Yeah, he can follow pills. Yeah.
Yeah, I would. How much does he weigh?
50.1 pounds.
Whoa, he's a big boy. I would say
7 years old.
Half the dose. Half the adult dose, or maybe between a third and a half the adult dose.
Okay, third and a half. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Usually
well, go by body
you.
Weight, but see how it goes, and you may increase it if it doesn't do the trick. But I've seen it with people who are just increasing that vitamin C. Whew! Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally amazing. Like people will used to be get through cedar season. Cedar is it here in the winter in December,
mm-hmm.
and they would just have to take steroids and over-the-counter antihistamines and be miserable the whole time through. And we got them to the point that all they needed was high-dose vitamin C. And there's another C. If you don't want to get them a separate quercetin, there's something called Aller-C that Vital Nutrients makes. And it's got quercetin and some other antihistamine-managing type nutrients.
Okay.
So what I usually do with people is, like, make the Aller-C, like, a part of it. So for you, I might start with one Aller-C three times a day and then do the powdered vitamin C on top of that.
I can't hear you.
You're disappeared.
So it's a little more expensive
Rita Marie.
To do the Aller-C because it has all the other stuff. Then you're not having to deal with a whole bunch of extra stuff.
I'm hearing nobody.
I didn't hear you.
Did we lose it? Okay, what was the last thing you heard?
I heard Aller-C.
Aller-C.
And that was it.
Oh, okay. So Aller-C has quercetin in it. And it has some other histamine managing type herbs. Maybe that's good. Just You know, that would help me know that I know. And when I stop here in the uh-huhs, I'll stop talking. Oh, boy. What a fun. Anyway, so Aller-C, I would do that as like your base. So for you, I would do one Aller-C three times a day. And then I would supplement that with the powdered C up to bowel tolerance.
Okay.
So you set the Aller-C as your baseline. For him, you'd probably maybe do, you know, one or two of those Aller-Cs a day and see how he does with it. If you can swallow pills, it's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
They're a little
annoying. Well, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. Great. Great question.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Okay.
So, Larry. Beverly.
Hey, baby. It's not Larry. Oh, I got a question, and I know you probably have addressed this ad nauseum, but the Garden of Life raw meal says folic acid with an asterisk. Is that the one that's folic acid, but it's folate or whatever the deal is, legitimately?
Okay, you're gone.
Was that the one exception?
You're gone. Yeah, you're gone. You were gone.
Oh, shoot. All right. Can you hear
I'll
me?
I'll do the hunter. With the folic acid in the Garden of Life, is that the one that's, and then you cut out?
Okay, raw meal?
Yes.
The raw meal has folic acid with the asterisk. So I'm wondering if that was one of the ones that was truly legitimately from folate, not folic acid.
I think what it is, it's the one that's, they take the folic acid and they feed it their little, you know, organisms that grow it. And it comes out supposedly as a, but you'd have to, if you can contact them and find out, you know, express your concern and just see what they have to say. See if you feel confident or comfortable with it. Yeah.
I'll do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about with the folic acid, go back and listen to the methylation thing I did last week. And we'll be going into
you
more
cut
of that.
Out.
Are we, oh. What did
go back
hear?
And listen to the methylation and then just cut
from
out.
From last week, The methylation webinar I did last week, if you're not sure about this whole, why Beverly's concerned and I'm saying don't eat folic acid. Folate is a necessary nutrient. Folic acid is the synthetic form and it messes up the metabolism and doesn't do good for your body.
Can you briefly tell everybody, because I keep getting this question, so I think a lot of people are confused about
she's gone.
When they, what folic acid, why they should avoid it, just briefly. Oh, you're out.
For a long time, you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one.
I don't know if you can hear me, but I'll
hear
you.
No, I couldn't hear you at all. I couldn't hear you at all.
I was just
question.
Asking if you could.
Well, it was you were out for a long time. You were out for a long time.
You
and
were too.
People on the web are hearing us going.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, it's lovely for those on the web, isn't it?
But if you could just briefly tell everybody, hopefully you can get through it, why they should avoid folic acid and what kind of symptomology they might see if folic acid was a problem for them.
Yeah, so, you know, symptomology, it could be anything, really, because it's anything that's like, it could be impaired detox, it could be cancer. I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen because it's impairing the methylation pathways and causing a decrease in those. So, it could be lack of DNA repair, it could be poor methylation. So anything can happen as a result of that. So and it's especially important for folks with disabled or impaired methylation pathways. So MTHFR and some of those other intermediates, which we didn't talk at all about last week, but I gave you a really cool chart about. Anyway. So the reason to avoid it is that folic acid is synthetic. It comes into the pathway way, way at the top, and it has to go through an enzyme that's very, very slow to metabolize. And then to get into the cycle, which takes it and makes it activated, turns it into the activated form, which is methyl 5-methyltetrahydrofolic acid. So when you do that, it actually forms a lot of unmetabolized folic acid, and unmetabolized folic acid can actually damage the blood-brain barrier, and it can actually impair the ability of the methylfolate to go through the blood-brain barrier. So that's in a nutshell, and I go into that more detail on that methylation
portion. Thank you. That'll hopefully help some people understand.
Yep.
Bring us Jeff.
I forgot it.
Who's open? Oh, Tracy.
It's Tracy.
Okay, yeah.
She has her hand up,
hi.
So I'll open her line.
Okay, yeah, and then go look at the questions and see if anybody's got any. So, Tracy.
Hi, I just had a question regarding whey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't recommend dairy at all, but I get a little confused because, like, when I listen to some naturopaths, they are proponents of whey. They're saying because whey has so many benefits. And so I just wanted to get your take on it,
gone.
Dr. Rita Marie.
Yep. Okay, all we heard was they are proponents of whey. And then
No. I said there are naturopaths, practitioners that really believe in whey because they feel like there's so many benefits to it.
Yep.
And I don't recommend it at all, but I just wanted to get your take on it.
Yeah, so there's cold processed whey, and there's the one that's certified or free of casein and all this. And there are some benefits to it. I mean, milk is a product that helps to grow little beings into big beings, right? So there's definitely some benefits. Are those benefits the same for adults who don't have to grow into big beings? Not sure. But there are some things that support people's immune system. And you have to always look at, does the benefit outweigh the risk? And there's always, everything has a risk-benefit ratio, even kale, right? There are some chemicals, there are some toxins in kale and celery, and everything has some toxins in it, but the nutrients far outweigh that, so we choose to do it. Unless you have a really bad problem with handling oxalates or sulfates, maybe avoiding kale for a while is a better idea. So getting back to whey, you've got to look at that. Is the person immunologically impaired, and it does have this immunoglobulins in it that help? But the other piece is, if the person has insulin resistance or diabetes, then whey is not a good idea because whey actually raises insulin levels. So if somebody's a type 1 diabetic, it might not be a bad idea, but it also, the whey, it's not clear in the studies that it's just the casein that causes the cross-reactivity that causes the antibodies that attack the pancreas and the insulin. So there's a lot of downside to it. So we have to really be clear that somebody has absolutely no diabetes. So even though in theory it might be, oh, well, it raises insulin, it might be good for diabetics, there's a lot of other things that can raise insulin, like, you know, gymnema and ginseng and other things like that. Well, not necessarily ginseng, but gymnema. And you look at it that way. So if you want, if you raise the insulin levels without raising the sugar levels, what you're doing is precipitating the insulin resistance. So that's my take on it. That's the downside of it. The other downside is if you're not careful about the way and where you buy it from, if it's heated or if it's not carefully processed to avoid the casein, then you run into casein sensitivity as well. And third is if there are people who are sensitive to whey. I just got back an allergy test. Somebody did an allergy test, brought it in to see me, and their whey, they were allergic to whey but not casein, which is unusual, but it happens.
Mm.
It happens.
So what about for a child?
Again, what's that for a child? You know, mm-hmm. if the child is under five, I would say, you know, it certainly would be probably a good thing, unless they come from diabetic families or they're suffering from diabetes. Yeah. I mean, it could be if the child is immunologically impaired and you really need to boost their immune system. It could be good.
Okay.
It could be, because that's where they're at, right? That's what they're thriving on. But it's, mm-hmm. you know, as we get to be adults and we have insulin resistance, we don't really want to raise our insulin levels.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I have controversial opinions about things, if you'll notice. So.
But I like your opinion, so I appreciate it.
Good. Thank you. All right. So, Beverly, did you find any questions typed in?
Yes, we do. We have a question from Stephanie Jackson in North Vancouver.
Hey,
and
Stephanie.
She says, Dr. That's what was that?
I said, hey, Stephanie.
Oh, oh boy. Dr. Rita Marie, thank you for your time. I just need to hear one more time the best lab for gluten stool test and also the test to determine bacteria profile in GI gut. The gluten stool test is not for me, but the bacteria is for me, as I have had a bad arthritis flare-up, and I'm sure that I haven't been glutened.
I like that. Been glutened.
Yeah. My arthritis may have been bacterially triggered from a bone infection, but I never found out which bacteria were actually involved. Is there a lung bacteria test that can be done? Long question. Thank you, thank you. So back to the original question is your best test for the stool of concerning gluten.
And do you know that one? You should know that one.
Are you asking me?
Yeah, you should know that one.
I should know that one. And that one is from in North Carolina, Diagnostics. You know, not Diagnostics. They changed their name, so I always remember their old name.
No, they don't do it anymore. They don't do it anymore. It's Entera.
Nova.
Lab. They don't do it anymore. They don't do gluten tests in the stool anymore. Entera Lab. EnteraLab.com. And everybody can just order it themselves, so you don't have to have a doctor's order. You don't have to go through Direct Labs. You just go to EnteraLab.com. $99, you get a gliadin test in the stool. And I found that to be pretty reliable. Pretty reliable.
Excellent. And then would that also give her the bacterial profile?
The bacteria gut would in the gut profile. So here's the deal. I used to say you really just go to BioHealth, because BioHealth tends to run, you know, the three or the four samples, and they run it really carefully. But their reports are kind of, you know, they're not that glossy and fancy and don't have a lot of information, and they don't do other things like enzymes in there and look at the good gut flora and give you numbers. Well, I just recently found out I was getting frustrated using the Genova one. They have one called GI Effects, and it used to be Metametrics that I would run, but they have both have combined. So GI Effects from them, and I was frustrated with them because I'd run the test and then they'd find things like a parasite or a candida or something. And then we wanted to do the sensitivity testing where they actually tested against some sort of nutraceuticals, I'll say. So nutrients and herbs to see what's going to kill it. And every time I get those, they go, taxonomy not known. We don't know what it is. It's probably just extraneous. And every single test I was getting got that. So I quit doing them. Well, recently I was talking, actually I interviewed on my radio show a woman that does, she just did the Hashimoto's talk, and she's a pharmacist who found out she had Hashimoto's. And I was telling her about that, and she said, oh, she said, but did you know that now Genova sends their specimens over to BioHealth to do this test for microbes. And so they're much better, and they're working now. Plus, if you do it that way, then you can get all the other chemicals tests. So she said she switched back to using Genova. So long story short, I think Genova would be a good, the Genova GI effects. Another one that seems to be fairly accurate, but I haven't done enough of them, is Doctor's Data. But I like the way Genova lays out the report, and I like the way they give you the sensitivities. So,
then that would be BioHealth, really. Would be,
yeah, you know, but if you want to do the full stool, if you want to do the full profile, because BioHealth doesn't also do looking at, like, telling you exactly how much lactobacillus you have and how much bifidus you have. And so they give you a lot more detail on Genova.
That's weird, but BioHealth's actually doing the testing?
But BioHealth does not the whole test, just that microbe piece.
Now, I wonder if that's what's in the 304 from BioHealth that they're recommending now.
I don't know.
Because she said this morning, the practitioner I talked to on the phone this morning said she recommended 304 from BioHealth, and that would give you the...
But you said that was a saliva.
Saliva, yeah. It's saliva.
Yeah, but that's different. No, this is a stool sample, and they're running a stool sample. So they're just sending it out to BioHealth for those sensitivities and to pick up, you know, the weird stuff that's that they're
so
not
Genova
doing.
GI effects.
Genova GI effects is what I like. But you can use BioHealth as well. The advantage of Genova GI effects is you can get it without having a practitioner license by ordering it through Direct Labs. So anybody can order it. You can just tell your client to order it.
That's great. How much is that one, do you know?
It's like
$400. All right. And then she asks, the gluten, I already told you that the gluten stool
right.
test wasn't for her. Her arthritis flare-up. She's wondering, you know, about that being...
yeah, so a lung bacteria. You know, generally they do those with sputum tests, and you'd have to go to an MD and have the sputum test done to see if there's anything going on in the lung. And sometimes they have to put a probe down if it's deep inside.
Bronchoscopy.
So the starting point would be a sputum test, and get it that way. As far as, you know, bone infection, the only way to know about bone infection is X-ray. Sometimes they'll show her a scan, a various bone scan type of things. And then biopsy, which you don't really want to do. That's not something you really want to do. Yeah. Yeah. So I know somebody recently, she had a really hard time recovering from pneumonia, and it's been years, and she just still had this cough, and nobody could figure out what it was. And she finally had somebody do this test and found out she had a fungal thing living in her gut, in her lungs, and is now looking at ways to get rid of it, and is doing better. But it could be something like that. So, yeah. I hope that helps.
We may have Stephanie on the line because there's a Vancouver call with her hand up, so I'm going to open the line.
Oh, good.
Stephanie, is that your phone?
Hello?
Is that Steph?
Yeah, is it working?
Oh, yeah, it's working. Yay.
Okay, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, so there was an X-ray. They removed, like, a chunk of my bone because it was infected.
Oh, it was an infection. Eek.
Mm-hmm. So I am going to go to my MD and see about the sputum test.
Yes, and when was that? When was it, Steph?
It was a year and a bit ago.
Okay.
But I did have to kind of figure that one out on my own because it didn't hurt or anything.
So how did you identify the location then? You didn't do a full body X-ray.
It was a dental thing.
Oh.
And it had actually penetrated up through my bones and my face, through to my sinus cavity.
Oh, my goodness. And how did you know it was happening?
I didn't know. but I had a really bad sinus infection. And sort of it comes and goes. And I had had it for many, many years.
Oh.
Yeah, so just process of elimination. That was, like, the last thing left to have a look at. And I'd only ever had that one root canal. So that was it.
So that was it.
Yeah, but my thought is having this come back, like, out of the blue and having the sinus thing at the same time, maybe I never – there's, like, a biofilm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I never licked it. And I'm taking all the serrapeptase, and I've got the liposomal vitamin C, and I'd like to know who's in there exactly so I can make them leave.
You can make them go away. Yeah, like a culture sensitivity test would be nice. So what the symptoms you're having is the arthritis pain is coming back and the sinus infection is back?
Yeah. Yeah, they're like friends. They come together every
time. They come together.
Yeah.
And have you had a dental x-ray to make sure, and a sinus x-ray again?
I should go back and do another sinus x-ray.
I would do that, and then I would also, if you're concerned about lungs, are you thinking lungs because you're having some lung symptoms or just because?
It kind of comes like with the sinus thing. There's a lot of, this is so gross, but it's like it's post-nasal drip and coughing. Like it's so connected.
Yes.
So.
But it may not be lungs. It may be just that what you're coughing is coming down truly as opposed to.
Yeah.
But it could be going down. I mean, some of it could be making its way down and embedded.
But it could be mostly up in the head. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be mostly up in the head. So a sputum test, I mean, they could certainly do an x-ray, but unless you have raging pneumonia, which you would know, probably not going to show up on an x-ray. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then are you taking more global kind of antibiotic type herbs and things like the berberine compounds? And
right now I'm just doing like a high dose of olive leaf. But yeah, maybe I should try something else.
I would look at, like, this is a time to go with the berberines because those are pretty potent. Golden seal is more on contact, so if you can, you might even try, if it's in the sinuses, neti pot with some golden seal tincture in it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can try that.
Yeah, see how high up there you can get it. And when you do it up there, because you can also get an infection, you know, that kind of lingers in the passage in between the nose and throat because it's constantly being barraged with that. And I would just do it where you lean your head back, get it up as high as you can until it starts dripping out your nose, and then like that to suck it back through the passage. Yeah, and do it both sides and do it several times a day. Let's see if that can help. The other thing that can help is if the sinuses, what happens is it's a combination of infection, but also the sinuses get inflamed. They just get boggy and the tissue gets really, and then the passages are narrowed, which makes it harder to expel the infection. So I've found that licorice in a neti pot can be helpful. Almost works like a steroid without the negative side effects of a steroid. And that can calm things down as well.
Oh, okay.
And what I was telling, was it Tracy earlier, about the quercetin, they have quercetin nasal drops from Thorn.
That sounds really good.
That's more histamine, but it's also, quercetin is an anti-inflammatory and an antihistamine. So it can be very helpful in just calming down everything that's going on up there and helping you heal. Because it's hard. And then the last thing, is it really green?
It's currently not that green.
Okay. Does it get green and kind of really...
Yeah, it goes in and out. Yeah,
there's an herb, and I'm choosing to forget right now. No, I want to remember this name of it. David Winston taught it to me, and is it Thuja? I'll look it up, but there's one herb that's very potent. You don't use it very often, but it's for those sinus infection things that just won't go away, and they can lead to bacterial infections in the rest of the body. And the name is
something with a lot of vowels.
I don't remember. I'll have to look it up. I'll have to look it up in my notes from him. It'll come to me. I'm sure it'll come to me later when I'm not thinking about it. Because now I'm on the spot, going, "Oh, think about it, think about it." It always comes to me when I'm not on the spot. I don't think it's not Thuja. Thuja is a good sinus herb, but it's not the one that he talks about. It's like. Like that's the king of these chronic bacterial sinus infections that just won't go away.
Well, that sounds good. It sounds like what I need.
Okay, I'm going to make a note. I'm going to put it on a sticky note. Give me a second. Look up.
What letters do you think it has in it?
You know, it's not coming right now. It's like on the verge, and if I try too hard, it won't come. So it's like one of those things that if I stop thinking about it, it'll start to flow through. You ever try and you start to say it and then it goes away again and you try to say it and it goes away again?
Yep.
That's what that word is. It's not an herb I use very often or recommend very often, but it came to mind as soon as you started describing that.
Is it one that you have to take for a little while and then stop? Like it's not a
it's not a nutritive herb. No, you do not. Yeah, you take it for, you might, you know, take it for a couple of weeks, and if you need to take it longer, you're going to stop for a few days before you start it again.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not real serious, dangerous, like something like poke, which, you know, 3 drops
yes.
at a time is all you can take, but yeah.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah. Good.
Thank you.
Well, good.
Thanks a lot.
Questions. And yeah, I've got it sitting on my computer screen blocking off part of it so I don't forget to look it up. And or
it's really good
or
information.
Comment. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay.
I know this is probably not it, but there's a herb. There's actually treatments for sinusitis. It's an herbal remedies for sinus.
Oh, read
and they one of the things is actually, let me go back to it. Oh, it jumped. Don't you hate when that happens? Fenugreek. There's a whole list of different things. I think these are more common. I doubt it's amongst them. Licorice, cayenne, myrrh, juniper, fenugreek, elderberry, golden seal, ginger, echinacea root, and peppermint and eucalyptus.
Nah, that's big stuff.
Yeah, it is baby. I'm like, I don't think that's it.
Yeah. That's baby stuff, right? All right. We'll find it. I'll recognize it if I see it. I'm kind of going to glance at his site. And it's not OSHA. OSHA is also, you know, it's a good one. And it's good for lung stuff. So OSHA might be a consideration as well because it's good for the lungs, very good for the lungs. Other things that are more adaptogenic for the lungs, believe it or not, are cordyceps and ashwagandha.
Mm.
No, they're not going to kill an infection, but they will help the terrain.
Cool. I have that.
Yeah, those are good. Mm-hmm. You know, so just make an elixir maybe and drink it down. This other one is not something you'd make an elixir of. You'd have a tincture, you'd take a few drops. And Yeah, I'll find it. I know I hear him in my head saying it's, and he just like the thick, putrid, green, gross. It's been there for months. It comes in, it gets a little better, then you think it's better, and then it comes back. I don't remember the name. It'll come. I think it's a like Drosera. What do they call it when it's a man-eating kind of? It actually eats it up. It's like catabolizes it.
Like bactericidal.
Yeah, no, but you know, like Drosera and is like it's a almost like a parasite, but it's like a mm-hmm. it just, I can see the picture of it, like it just eats everything, it dissolves everything, it's just really strong and potent, and it's not your typical like plants or leaves or seeds or roots. It's mm-hmm. anyway, but it'll come. It's there. It might be in his sinus compound, but I doubt it. It would be, something that you could...
Not mullein.
No, it's not something that's common. You're not going to see it in some of these common over-the-counter formulas. Definitely a stronger. All right, we'll keep everybody guessing, and I'll have to send out an email.
Thank you.
Figure it out. You're welcome. Okay, so, and yeah, I think that's all the questions.
Bayari.
Oh, Bayari, hi.
He says, hi, Rita Marie. I just want to make sure that you received my email. Sorry, had to cancel my case presentation that was scheduled for today. I'm not having my best day today. Apologies. Kiss.
Oh, Bayari, it's interesting because I just sent you yet another. I don't know if you're not getting my emails back, but I sent you an email the other day when I first saw it. And I just sent you another email today, and I just added a few spots to the schedule. Let's see, like March 31st is available, but it was scheduled somehow funny on the calendar, and I added May 7th, and I have to look at my calendar and see it's not finished. So I guess I didn't send you that email. I apologize. But I did respond to you the other day. And, yeah, no problem, and you'll read my email. But if you have dates that are specifically that you know you're going to be available, just shoot me an email. That's what I said in the email the other day. But I can't extend these past the end of April because we're just going to have too much. So you guys are going to have to, like, just do it. Just do it. You can do it. I know you can do it. Yeah. So, all right. Anybody else?
Barry. Hi, Rita Marie. No, I didn't get your email. Thank you for replying.
Okay. I'll make sure this other one I thought I sent, but I guess I didn't. Appointment cancellation. Here we go. I put the link in, but I didn't. I'm going to send it to you, but don't click on the link yet because I haven't saved the new things. By the end of this call, I will have saved the new things. Just trying to fit all this in between. Okay. All right. I just sent it back to you, Mayari. So while you're on the call, if you can check for it. But like I said, don't necessarily change that because I haven't put the dates back on the calendar yet. Okay.
Wow. And that should be it. That's the last of the
questions.
That's
it. All right. Any more on the thing? Otherwise, we'll call it a day. Oh, it's already 5 after, so we're a little over. So, perfect.
Right.
I have another
and
call.
Everybody's lines open, so we can say goodbye to each other.
Oh, good. We haven't cut out in a little while, so that's a good sign. Hopefully, they'll get this done, but I have another call to do with Green Cleanse in like a half an hour or an hour, something like that. So,
an hour and a half, I think, isn't it? At 5:30?
Let me look.
Let me check.
No, 5:30. Yeah, 5:30. It's less than a half hour. 5:30
yeah.
My time. Yeah, so hopefully the line will be better and maybe they fix the problem. Okay, guys. You guys take care.
Thank
it's
you.
Great talking
Thank
to you.
You
guys
so
had great
much.
Questions today, and I think we all grow when we learn. Does everybody feel like you learned from each other?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we just need an herb to make it all stick.
Good. Good.
We need
well,
an herb to
thank
make it
you.
All stick.
Make it all stick? Oh.
Rosemary.
Repetition. Ginkgo maybe, but I can't take ginkgo, so I can't say that that's why I make it stick. But it's repetition. And
yes.
It's hearing it in different ways. And like I said, I just couldn't come up with thuy. No, thuy isn't it. Oh, it almost came. The word almost came. Anyway, see, I can't come up with that word. I just have this vision of it, but I can't come up with the name. So
it's all good.
I
have remembered one that they used with fenugreek that's unusual, and it's not coming to me either. I've seen it long time ago, like 15 years ago. Oh, shoot.
I wonder if it is
Drosera.
I'll look
what?
It up. Maybe it is Drosera. Sundew. It might actually be Sundew Drosera, which is hard to get. Huh. I'll have to look it up. Now I've got
all right.
Really curious. All right. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye now.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.